Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Drive on KFH.
All right, time for Jive Talk here on The Drive with Bob and Jeff. Joe Auer, Joanna Chadwick in today. Let's go to the Twin Peaks Scenic Views Hotline. Greg, you're on the show. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, Bob. Joanna and Joe, you both have great perspectives for me. Joe, obviously, the head coach of both sports that I'm going to talk about or ask about. And then, Joanna, you've obviously been around, covered, played, and been married to a basketball coach. From the baseball side of it, to me, back in 1991, the best surgeon in the world, Dr. James Andrews, was saying how negative it is to play year-round baseball specifically. And he was the best then. He's still the best now. And he's 18 years smarter and still saying the same thing. And it befuddles me that people think it's good for their 10, 12, 16-year-old kid to play year-round. We all know the dangers and injuries that can come from repetitive use of throwing a baseball, specifically pitching. I'm curious how much of the relationship is there with the repetitive movements in basketball and how much of a physical break should be given in basketball as well. I'm pretty confident in my knowledge about the baseball side of a break. And then the other thing I would like to hear you guys speak about is just the burnout factor. I've been fortunate to be around high-level college baseball players for a really long time, even professional players, and I hear them talking about burnout, and they play a 56-game season, so I don't know how Timmy and Johnny can play a 100-game or an 80-game season at 8, 10, 12 years old, and that doesn't have a long-term effect on those kids as well. So I'll kind of get out of the way
Greg. Listen,
but I appreciate you guys.
I'm going to take a guess at the first question and get your input. Since I've been around these young kids a lot the last 5 or 6 years in League 42, that a lot of them play basketball, a lot of basketball, and I've heard of, I'd say 5 or 6 severe knee injuries for kids that are 9, 10, 11 years old. So the game of basketball is extremely difficult on knees, right?
Yeah, it seems like, and it's been going on now for quite a while, but there's never been more information. There's never been a better time to get better individually, to train, to be to have information that's accessible. But the game is not meant to be played all year. You can work on your game all year, but you know the kids now, they're going to tournaments, they're playing 3, 4, 5 games in a day. You know, your knees aren't designed to do that. So it's a real double-edged sword. It's a real problem that we've got to figure out.
But how do we figure it out?
Well, it comes down to parents and adults understanding what the journey is. What, you know, what is the outcome? There's too many parents that are feeling the pressure of a college scholarship, feeling the pressure of even just making a high school team. It's amazing how much pressure they're putting on themselves and the kids. They're just going to do what they're told. And what we're seeing is the kids that spend more of their time training, and you can train to be a good football player and prepare to be a good basketball player. You know, if you're a multiple sport person, you can still – we tell our guys, listen, you've got to have a priority sport. That's fine. We want you to train in that most of the year, but we don't need you to compete at it all year. It's really important to compete at all the sports. And I mean, parents are going to have to make that change. And I don't know if there's much that high school coaches or college coaches can do about it. It's got to come from home.
Joanna, what are your thoughts on this? Because I know you have an active family right now, kids who enjoy playing sports. How do you approach it? What do you do?
Well, I mean, it's really scary because, you know, I come from an awareness factor. I've seen a lot of athletes. I've seen great stories. I know the limits and how many kids are going to go play D1 in whatever sport it is. I understand all those things. I want the most for my kids. And we had a situation 1 year where Blake was playing soccer. He was out for track, and he was playing basketball. And we went up to – this was when Brian was coaching at Northwest. We went to the trainer one day, and he looked at him. He goes, yeah, he's hurting because he's doing too much. And so we had to pull back in that area, even though it didn't seem like it was that much. It was still too much on him. We really believe in pulling back and having that downtime. It could be to the detriment of our kid getting a high-level thing. I don't know. My kids also aren't going to be 6'5". But beside that, we also believe in multi-sports.
Right.
All of our kids play multiple sports. And they're playing soccer. They're playing basketball. It breaks Brian's heart that Blake is not out for track right now because we believe in track. To me, if you are playing a running sport, why are you not out for track? Everybody can benefit from learning to run correctly. And the difference on your body that it does when you play a different sport, the difference in your mentality, when you can run an open 8 and then come back as a middle schooler and run 5 minutes later in the 800 in the medley relay, that is mental strength.
We were talking, I was talking to Joe earlier about a kid at Heights by the name of Josh Sanders, who's an outstanding football player, tremendous track athlete, just a great athlete, who started playing baseball with us our very first year. That's the kid, in my estimation, that looked at baseball and said, okay, I'm not very good at this, but I'm going to get good at it. And he's put the effort into it. Now, he's not playing year-round, nor should he, but he's putting the effort into it to prove to people that he can play baseball. We have kids 8, 9, 10, 11 years old going to baseball tournaments on the weekend, and that's pretty much their involvement. Not playing in a league, but getting on a travel team that goes and plays on weekends. They pay a fee. They get a number of games, 5 or 6 games in a weekend. I don't get it. I mean, you shouldn't be playing 3 or 4 games in a day if you're a baseball player, should you, Joe?
No, you're exactly right. But there's just a lot of bad information out there. And most of it is not coming from those in the know. It's not coming from college coaches. It's not coming from pro coaches. It's not coming from high school coaches. It's coming from people who, you know, it's for their own benefit. It's very self-serving. And something's got
to
change.
I've not talked to anybody who doesn't agree with this stance, okay?
Right.
So why is it still...
It's all
why can't
about,
we change it?
It's all about the scholarships. I mean, I wrote like in 2015 about navigating youth sports. And I remember our editor, he looked at me and goes, why aren't you talking about NAIA and Division II schools and JUCO? And I said, because there's not a parent in the world who looks at their kid and says, NAIA is your future. Until they're a senior and those offers aren't coming. And so it's like if you would set aside some of that money you're putting into sports and the year-round aspect – man, you could pay for your kid to go to school.
Yeah, like I said earlier, you can push your child and encourage your child to perform at a high level. As a parent, part of your job is figuring out what sport they have the greatest aptitude at. You know, Kay and I are both of our sons were fortunate enough to play Division I college golf, one at Kansas and the other one at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. But they didn't play tournaments all year. They worked on their game all year. But they played basketball, they played baseball, and they learned valuable lessons in those sports that transitioned into their golf games as well. So, you know, some of the greatest athletes I've had the chance to work with, and Evan Wessel, he played every sport under the sun, but he trained at basketball all year. Dremus Smith made it to the NFL, but he trained in other he participated in other sports.
By the time you get to high school, it's pretty obvious to most people where your most ability lies, correct? Now, there are exceptions. A Ron Baker, for instance, it seemed like he could have pretty much played in any sport that he wanted to. But let's remember about Ron Baker, too, that he was a walk-on at Wichita State.
Right, right.
Did not earn a Division I full scholarship. So my point is to kids, find out what you're the best at. And then when you get to high school, if you want to, then start to focus more at that point Although I think I love three sport athletes in high, but it's a dying breed. There just aren't any.
There are still a lot of them out there, though. I mean, there are. You know, I look at this kid that I'm writing about, Tajon Crowe from Hutch. This kid is legitimately fast. He picked up hurdles simply because when Cornelson was coaching at Hutchinson at the time, he's like, I want my running backs running hurdles. So that's why he started. That was not on his radar. And now that's a possibility that maybe it's not football that his future. That's his future. In high school, I think there's the mentality that, oh, I'm so far behind, I can't start. Why not? Why not? Why not try out for golf or for tennis, even if your sport is softball or swimming?
Well, you can pick up golf and become pretty good at golf. Even if you didn't, now it helps to have started playing as a kid in any sport, because you pick up the hand-eye coordination, the timing, and all that stuff.
But look at what we do with football. And football is probably hindered the most simply because it can't be year-round. And we don't have spring football here. So football is very much, hey, get out and go play, go wrestle. You know, they're like, get out and go run track. But you can't play it year-round. And think how good that is for them. And you know when coaches both say that you should pick up football? It's like seventh grade. It's okay. You don't have to start at age five.
Joe, you coached baseball for a number of years at Heights as well.
While
you were coaching basketball. Now, that doesn't happen very often anymore. We don't see that from coaches. Why do you think that is?
It's related to that single-minded focus. I was the head baseball coach from 1990 through 2007, and then basketball and baseball from 95 through 07. So, yeah, there weren't very many guys who were doing that. But sports are year-round, and it's a very – like I said, it's a very fine line. I think to your point earlier, playing the games all year is detrimental to their health. Training, having a training focus is a necessity if you want to get to a high level. And so you got to find some balance and leave other opportunities open to yourself. And there's a recipe for success, but I don't believe the recipe is for a young lady to play club volleyball all year, or a young man to play baseball all year, that you're going to have some breakdown with your body in that regard. And it's good to have some time away, like Joanna mentioned, and do some other things. But
let's get back to the Twin Peaks hotline. Max, you're on with Joe Auer, Joanna Chadwick.
Hey, how's it going? Have to give a shout out to Joe. I grew up with Joe's son, played a lot of golf together. And I have to agree. I think playing different sports year round, for me, speaking personally, I played a little bit of basketball, but golf is my main sport. And playing basketball is great for me. Kept me in good shape. I love the game. But it also kept me fresh for when golf season rolled around. I didn't get so burnt out. You know, I was excited. It reinvigorated me to get focused for golf. So I think that's another reason.
Max was a state champion as a freshman at Cape and Mount Carmel. So
then what happened after that, Max?
I mean, I set the bar too high.
Max is a heck of an athlete.
We know Max. Max, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. So we'll continue to have that discussion from time to time, but it's one that interests me. Something else that interests a lot of people, I've just been looking at Twitter a little bit, and the Game of Thrones, final season. Do either of you watch that? Joanna, do you?
You know, it's really hard to watch Game of Thrones when you have an 11-year-old walking around and insists on looking at what you're watching. So, no, I don't watch it.
Is that not good for kids to watch, I take it?
Are you a Game of Thrones guy? I mean, the little I know of it, yeah, I don't think so.
I watched the first two seasons and did not get hooked.
Really?
Surprising,
isn't it? You're an anomaly.
I know. What about you, Joe?
Oh, my family is addicted to Game of Thrones. I'm looking at our immediate family text group today, and our youngest sent me a text said, "Winter is coming."
My goodness, I had no idea.
Yeah, this weekend, I believe, Sunday, I'm kind of at the low end in our family in terms of interest. The rest of the family just diehard Game of Thrones fans. But I must admit, I got pulled in, and it's a heck of a show. But Joanna is correct. I would not want to sit down with my young child and watch some of the scenes in that show.
There are a few things that happen in that show. Yeah.
I have to admit, though, I have just started watching Mad Men. I did not watch it when it was on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I watched every episode of Mad Men.
Yeah, it's an excellent show, but there's one where I'm just like, oh, God, Gavin's here. Fast forward.
Well, that was on AMC. That wasn't on the HBO.
No, but I still didn't watch it. I'm just...
Let your kids live a little bit, man.
He's 11. He doesn't need to see that.
See, we've definitely got a couple of different parenting philosophies right. Here.
And look how mine turned out.
Poor Jeffrey, yeah.
No, I didn't let him watch things like that. Are you kidding me? I was all over him if he tried to do that. Joe Auer, Joanna Chadwick, our guest, 869-1240. Don't forget Antoine Carr coming up in a moment. And then five questions with Tim Grubbs, the voice of the New Orleans Baby Cakes. He'll be making the trek to Wichita after New Orleans season ends, and he'll be the voice of the team here next season. Mark, you're on.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Good. I just I had a quick question for Joanna and Joe there. What do you see as a net that you would like to see as an improvement in the state of Kansas for basketball related rules changes, something to help improve the game,
shot clock,
anything that I'm asking for your guys's input, because you know us as fans, we get one view what we want, but I'd like to hear what people that are more knowledgeable than the average Joe fan like me what you guys like.
We got it. Thank you, Mark.
Okay, well, so I was going to say shot clock, but I, of course, the man that I'm married to, we talk about this a lot. And the thing that he and I both agree on is we need the arc. We need to get the arc. We got to stop these charges that are being taken right under the basket. It's ridiculous. It needs to be improved. It's an easy improvement. You can't tell me it's going to cost us thousands and thousands of dollars and we have to train somebody to do it, like what they say with the shot clock. So let's institute the arc. It can be done 1A through 6A. Bam, the game becomes better.
Joe?
Well, I think that's going to happen, actually. I think that's something that's on the horizon, and it will make a big difference in our game. You know, you should not be punished for scoring a basket and making contact with somebody underneath the basket. It's detrimental to the game. And I think a few more games would be helpful as well. Even if it were one additional tournament, I think our kids would benefit from a few more games. But, you know, Keisha's done a good job recently with the seedings in the postseason. That was always an age-old complaint that we had that you didn't necessarily get the best teams to the state tournament, but now 6A and 5A going with the seeding of 1 through 16 has made tremendous improvements. And
isn't basketball now simply a game played with a shot clock? I mean, that's the game now. And for high schools to not go down that road, it's not basketball. Now, there are some who would say, well, the uniqueness of the high school game, the purity, I don't agree with that. I just don't think it's a reflection of basketball in 2019.
I completely agree. It's a difficult fix in that some gyms aren't wired for that, other gyms are. You still have some old school folks that don't want to see that. But as you say, Bob, that is basketball, and it's a definite part of the game. And you shouldn't have 2 minutes to find your best shot. That makes basketball boring. Basketball is a game of transition, and anything we can do to improve offense, I hope that we do. And the shot clock may be something in the future, but definitely I think the arc is something that we're going to see soon. Coach Cherney at Capen has worked really hard with the Coaches Association and has made some headway in that regard. So I think we may see that in the future.
All right, we'll take a break. When we return, we'll talk with Antoine Carr, yet another Heights legend. It's Hollywood Heights Day here on the show. Back in a minute.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.